Let's turn in the scriptures to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We're looking this morning at verses 9 through 13. Our verse we're looking at particularly is verse 10. But we'll read Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And before we read the Word of God, let's pray and ask for the Lord's help upon us. Our gracious Father, thank you once again that you speak to us and reveal yourself, your righteousness, and everything that you are to us. Now, we're thankful that you reveal to us the gospel. We're thankful even now that you teach us how to pray, how to live, even by these words that we will read here. And Father, may your name be praised. Again, grant us faith in our hearing of your word and the reading and the preaching of it. Make us to be obedient and love you more and teach this to our neighbors, our children, that we would be iron sharpening iron. And then, Father, we also ask, Father, that you would humble me, the servant, the mouthpiece, and grant us all that your name and you would be exalted in our hearts and no man. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 9. These are God's words. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Those are God's words. Well, the next and third petition in the Lord's Prayer there in verse 10, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Remember that we are not merely, again, studying how to pray. And of course, we are learning how to pray here in the Lord's Prayer as the Lord Jesus teaches His disciples to pray. He's teaching us how to pray, but He's also teaching us how to live and how to live in His kingdom. And so how does King Jesus in this petition teach us how to follow after Him in righteousness and holiness? Remember that we looked at the second petition, which is Thy kingdom come. We learned there that all kingdoms have a king. And in Christ's kingdom, it's Jesus Christ. And all kingdoms have a law. And this king, Jesus Christ, has a law. It's found in His word and His kingdom. And that teaches us how to live in His kingdom. The law tells us how to live. And that's no different, of course, as all the other kingdoms. It's no different in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He's given His law. It is the law of the land. It's the law of His kingdom. But King Jesus, at the same time, rules over all. His law rules over all nations. And so that all will be held to account according to and based upon His law found in this Word. His Word and the Scriptures that we have in our Bibles. And so, where the law of, let's say, Austria, the nation of Austria has no authority over me, and no authority over anyone else here, unless we go there. Austria has no authority, their law has no authority upon us, but King Jesus' law has complete authority over the people of Austria, over the people of the United States, over the people of wherever. Even to the ends of the universe, the law of Jesus Christ must be at all times obeyed, submitted to, and believed in, because He is the mediatorial King of as we say, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He rules over all. And yet when we are privileged to become citizens of His kingdom, there are greater privileges. There are great privileges, some of which we've already spoken about. But one privilege is that we have the law given to us. As it's not hidden to us, it's not kept in a corner or in a basement somewhere, but it is clearly spoken. It might be complex at times, but it is easily had. It's right here with the Scriptures revealed to us. It's not so complex language like if we thought of any legislation today that lawyers have to go into it and say, well, this means this and that means that. Okay, now I know. We try to read those laws and try to interpret those laws, but those laws are not interpreted often rightly by us because they're so complex. And they have to go, it refers to this passage over here, way, way somewhere else in the legislation, right? And yet, even often contradicts itself. And so then you have to bring in the lawyer, the judge, and have him determine what the meaning is. Well, we look down at verse 33 in chapter 6. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so we are praying here for the Lord to be glorified, to be praised, for the Lord in Christ to rule us. For He's the King. But now we are praying for soft hearts to be molded by our Lord so that we can be ruled by Him. We cannot be ruled by Him unless we have those softened hearts. We prayed about that the Holy Spirit would change our hearts in regeneration or making our hearts alive. We need those. So we have to ask ourselves the question now, how can we be ruled by King Jesus when we do our own will? When you do your own will, how can you be ruled by King Jesus? When we are ruled by our own desires, the question we ought to ask then is, can we be ruled by King Jesus when we are doing our own desires? He commands, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Not your own kingdom. Not your own righteousness. And yet that is precisely how we are often found ourselves. You're often found seeking your own kingdom and seeking your own desires and your according to your righteousness, what you think is right and good. And now, last time we essentially, when we looked at "Thy kingdom come," we essentially looked at the government of the kingdom, but really haven't looked at the law and obedience to the law of that kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's where we get to that second part of chapter 6, verse 33, His righteousness. Not only His kingdom, but His righteousness. And so here we're considering, as we can see from the text in verse 10, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We are considering today the will of God. The will of God. The goal for the citizen of Christ's kingdom, for all Christians, is to do the will of the King. To do the will of Jesus Christ. And yet there are those in the visible church in which the King says, chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And so this is a very important thing to consider. The will of God. Only those who do the will of the Father, who is in heaven, will enter the kingdom of God. Not only the visible kingdom, but he's speaking more there of the invisible or the true heaven. Like, who will enter into the kingdom of heaven, into glory on the last day? It will be those who do the will of my Father who's in heaven. And so no matter if you're a Christian or not, a believer or not, a citizen of Christ's kingdom or not, only those who do the will, Jesus says, of my Father enter the kingdom of heaven. And so this is part of faith, friends. This is part of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ includes not just the trusting in and believing the facts of the gospel, It also includes a true and hearty, an earnest, real subjection or submission to the will of God, to the King, Jesus Christ. To turn from being ruled by our own desires to be ruled by the King. The will of God, first we need to know what this means. The first point this morning, how can God's will be known? How can God's will be known? That's a question that is often asked today. I remember in college, a lot of my fellow students asked that question a lot. What is the will of God? What is the will of God for my life? Because everybody's trying to figure out what they're going to do in life. And so they're all asking, what is the will of God for my life? And oftentimes, the answer that I found there in college, but also oftentimes the answer for many Christians is the wrong answer. It's the unbiblical, foolish answer. And that is that we can figure out the will of God almost randomly through our own personal, yet fallen, sinful impressions made up of our emotions, which suggests one course of action is better than another. What this boils down to is often, at the end of the day, it boils down to this. Whatever pleases me is what I'm going to do. And that's the will of God. That's often the Christian answer, unbiblical answer, but often the Christian answer today. Which, of course, is really not being led by the will of God at all. It is being led by the will of self. The desires of self. The desires of ourselves. So, similarly, others will, in the same way, take certain circumstances that are presented to them as what they believe to be guiding them. And sometimes we get carried away with this, which is essentially the same. They are leading themselves by their desires in response to the things that happen, and often grumbling or complaining about one thing and saying, well, it cannot be this way. It cannot be this way because this bad thing happened over here, so it has to be this completely other way. And it's based on their own desires. And their desire and their thoughts about this perhaps bad thing, they've interpreted it as bad, even though for the Christian, all things work together for good. So we need to be careful how we interpret God's providence, that is, circumstances that come upon us. But others will take unusual events or monumental happenings as the voice of God directing themselves one way or another. It's of course not the voice of God, because the voice of God we find in the Holy Scriptures, in our Bible. And as we have studied before in meditation, when we meditate, godly biblical meditation, when we've studied that, the unbiblical meditation is to try to do what? It is to try to empty your mind. Empty your soul, we might say. Empty your mind. And so some in the church do that as well. Taking that unbiblical Buddhist kind of Eastern approach to things, a false religion. So they empty their mind so that they think they can then fill it with God. And what happens is that they fill it with themselves. All right, you try to empty yourself, but you're still yourself. And you can't empty your mind. It is always going to be filled. Others, sadly, are so confused because they put everything into their minds to seek then, and then seek to discern good from evil. They just put everything in, and so that only leads to confusion. And as you personally try to figure out what is good and bad determined to you, and you change, and so the good and bad changes all the time. Everything you're trying to put in, it changes all the time. So you're the one that's often tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, or you're tossed to and fro by every circumstance that's happening. You're all over the place. And some of you are like that here. God's desire for us, though, is to make things clear to His people. He is the one who is the light, right? He shines His light into the darkness so that there's no more confusion, but clarity, right? That's our God. And He even does that into our hearts and our minds and our desires, our wills. And so Jehovah tells us how to find His will and what His will is. And He says in 2 Timothy 3, most of you know this if you've been a Christian for a while, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished unto every good work, and to every step you take, the Scripture is given to you for that purpose. There the Lord's saying clearly, if you want to know my will, I will reveal it to you. And I reveal it to you in my word, the Scriptures. The word of God is given to instruct. It's given to rebuke. It's given to correct. It's given to equip us that we might live righteous lives for Christ Jesus. And as we confess God's word is the only infallible rule for faith and life, what we are to believe, how we are to live, and all things necessary for salvation from our sins, what we are to believe to be saved from our sins, to believe on Jesus Christ, bowing to Him as the King of Kings, knowing that He will save us, and how to live righteous lives for Christ. We can only do that in Christ, having been justified by faith and imputed with or credited with His righteousness. So there's not any aspect of all of our lives that does not fall under the teachings of the Scriptures of God's Word. Every single aspect of our lives is touched by God's Word. He instructs us with His Word and guides us with His Word and by His Spirit as we are in the Word. Now that's not to say that the Scriptures teach us what shoes to wear one day compared to the next day, or what clothes we must wear, what job to take, and it being very specific in the clothes you wear or the job you take. But it does lead us by the Lord's principles found in His Word. The principles found in His Word of true wisdom and righteousness, just like we just read in Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll see more of that as we go through Proverbs. He teaches us His principles of good and evil, of right and wrong, or right and sinful. And they're all found in His Word. He does teach us how to dress on certain occasions. He does teach us how to dress modestly with a modest heart. Right? He does teach us. He even teaches us and guides us according to the principles of His Word what jobs to take. And so, for example, He teaches us that the fourth commandment, right? 6 days you are to work, and to rest on the first day of the week, right? And seventh day and the time passed, but now after Christ has risen from the dead, it's the first day of the week. We're to rest one day per week. But if you're applying for a job and they say you have to work on the Lord's day, then that's not the job for you. He guides us according to His Word, right? And what jobs to take and what jobs not to take. And there's, of course, many other principles that go into what job we ought to take. Is this an evil company that I'm working for, or a good company, a just company? Are they committing fraud? And we ought not to work there then, right? If they're making their workers slaves and not paying in accordance with the work that's being done, then that we ought not to work there. And so, if we would be friends, if we would be in the Word, if we'd be reading the Word, listening to the Word read and preached, if we would be singing the Psalms as we go through it, and life pastoring us, because the Psalms pastor and shepherd us through all life's events. If the faithful, we would sing those Psalms, if we would put as much time in the Word of God as we could, and less time on those things of the world that we don't really need, and cut off those worldly things as much as we could, then we would be guided by the will of God, by His Word. And when we pray, we would know what to pray for. So much if you go to general evangelicalism, and even you see it in new Christians, new Christians often very shallow prayers. They don't really know what to pray because they don't know the Word of God very well. That doesn't mean they're not praying, but it means they don't know the Word of God very well. But the more we know God's Word, the more we know His will. And the more we know His will, the more we're going to pray according to His will. Praise God. Psalm 25. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies, his word. And in seeking God's will, we are to be patient, friends. So sometimes there are times in our lives where we don't really know what to do. We need to be patient. Psalm 27 guides us. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There'll be times when you don't know what to do, and you've studied the Scriptures, and you generally know the Scriptures, some of you, and you're thinking to yourself, both things are good, both things are, would whether to the right or to the left, would be walking in the righteous path. And if they're really big things, you might even come to your elders and say, am I missing something? Should I be concerned about anything here? That can be wise to do, or your parents as well, godly parents. But at the end of the day, it might be just two different things. Should I take the job at this place? Or should I take the job over here? And both are good. We had one man I met last week in Dallas. He visited here, Levi Manring. He visited here a year or so ago, a couple years ago now, and he was trying to decide where he was going to move and take a job, and he was deciding from a job here, I think it was Honeywell maybe, and then another job in Dallas, right? And both were good options for him, but he chose one because at the end of the day, there was nothing hindering either job. It was more his wife to be closer to her family. That's why they moved to the one location and not the other. Praise God. Right? But sometimes we're stuck in those kind of situations where we don't know to choose which one to do. But we follow God's word as much as we can. So what is the will of God? What is the will of God? What we have been talking about thus far is God's word, right? And God's preceptive will. God's preceptive will. Are we going to come back? We're going to come back to this, but first we are going to hear about another kind of will, at least described by theologians, but we see it in the Scriptures, and that's God's decretive will. God's decretive will. His will based upon His divine decrees and what He's effectually brings to pass, whatever He pleases, according to what He has decreed from all eternity. When God said, let there be light, when He said, let there be light in Genesis 1, He issued His command and His effectual will. That is, when the Lord commanded there to be light, the light appeared by the sheer, not even by the sun, because the sun didn't exist yet, the light just appeared by the sheer necessity of consequence. It had to be, because He commanded it to be, and He decreed it from all eternity to be at that time. God's decretive will can have no other effect, no other consequence than what God sovereignly commands. He didn't request. He wasn't asking the light to come and shine. He didn't coax the light. He didn't woo it into existence. It was a matter of His divine authority and power. And this is the same will, the decretive will of God, the same will that God has from all eternity, so that He has commanded in eternity past to occur everything that will occur. He freely and unchangeably ordains whatsoever comes to pass, our confession says. Isaiah 46 declares this truth of our God. It's declared many other places, but here, Isaiah 46, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. So He's saying, from all eternity, He's decreed the bird. He's decreed the man from the far country to come. He's decreed all these things. And they are, at the very perfect time, they come to pass. All that He's decreed from all eternity comes to pass exactly according to as He decreed it, because He's sovereign. Acts 17. And He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before, eternity past, before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. So He determined from all eternity at the specific times, all times, wherever we would go, think to yourself, about yourself, wherever we would go, all that would happen, He appointed it. Even where we would live, in our homes, He appointed from all eternity. What family you would grow up in, He appointed it from all eternity. And the families that we marry into, He appointed it from all eternity. He decreed it all so that it comes to pass perfectly, exactly as He ordained. Praise the Lord. For He is sovereign and He rules over all. He truly is God and King. And we can depend upon Him to do exactly as He promises, because He has ordained it to be. Even as we think of Romans 8:28, right? He works all things together for our good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. How can He do that? Because He's decreed it from all eternity to be so. And He's decreed every little thing, the dust flying through the air. He's decreed it. He's sovereign. And yet He's not the creator or the author of sin. 1 John 5. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in Him, nor James 1. He doesn't tempt anyone to sin. He decrees all things to be, and they are. He is faithful to Himself and in Himself. And so when we pray, Thy will be done, we are praying in one sense, Lord, all that You've decreed to come to pass, bring it to pass at the right time. We're kind of stepping out of our own will. We don't want our will anymore. We don't want our desires anymore. We want God's will. Lord, whatever You've come brought to pass or decreed to come to pass, Lord, do it at the right time. Do it at the right time. And so we're focusing our hearts, we're focusing our desires, we're focusing our emotions on what God has decreed to be His will. What His will is. And so this is the plea that for us moves us to a greater and greater faith, to trust the Lord and His plan that we don't fully know. So then in your mind when you're praying, in your heart when you're praying, Lord, bring about Your plan that You've predestined and appointed from all eternity. Even though we don't fully know it. Lord, please bring it to pass. Lord, I desire this over here. What seems good to me over here, but Lord, Your will be done. That's what happens when we're, that's what we ought to be considering and believing in faith when we're praying. Lord, here are my petitions, and yet, Lord, Your will be done. Lord willing. I'll be there tomorrow, Lord willing. That's my desire to be there tomorrow, friend, neighbor. But Lord willing, if the Lord wills, the Lord can do anything to stop me, and He may do it. But I will try to be there. Right? If the Lord so wills, I will be there. It's a giving over of our own desires, our wants for the Lord's desires and His decrees unto His glory. Because He brings Himself more glory than we could ever bring by our own personal desires. And so each of us must grow to trust more and more the Lord and His plan rather than our plan. Our plans might go into tomorrow or years into the future. We might have plans for years from now for our lives. But the Lord's going to direct your steps. Right? And that's what we learn in Proverbs 2, Proverbs 19. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And so when we pray, Thy will be done, we are praying not blindly. Our praying, Thy will be done, must come in the fact that we ourselves are seeking out His will from the Scriptures. What are His promises? We're asking that those questions. What are His promises? We're just saying, and I believe it's the last psalm, something that teaches, I'll get it out. We were learning of his promises. We know that his promises are for his glory and his praise. And so here's the psalmist in Psalm 30 asking the question, are you going to get the most praise when I'm dead? Are you going to get the most praise when I'm in the dust? Who's going to declare your faithfulness if I'm dead or whatnot? So he's asking, Lord, your will be done. But he's like, your will be done, but all the more if I'm still living, I can keep praising you and keep declaring your name. And so, what are his promises? What are his decrees that he makes in the scriptures that he's revealed to us? He's revealed many of them to us, not even close to all of them. But he's revealed many in our minds, many in the sense of our minds, to us. He reveals to us his ways, generally. And so as we study the scriptures, we're discovering and thereby becoming more familiar with God's revealed will in the scriptures. And we grow in wisdom to apply that biblical teaching to the different situations and circumstances of life. If God has promised all things will work for my good, for example, He's promised that all nations will come to Himself. He's commanded me in the Great Commission to go forth and testify because I know His decrees that all nations will come to Himself and that all things work together for good and that He holds me, Psalm 121, in His hand, even my soul, then I am not fearful to go into the crowd of atheists who will attack me and tell them the gospel. Right? That's how we now live according to His will. Knowing His promises. Knowing His eternal decrees. Even though when we don't know when those things will happen. Specifically. And so then we can pray with more knowledge. Not only live with more knowledge, but pray with more knowledge. Thy will be done. We can pray that all the elect would be brought in. We can pray for the Holy Spirit to come in power upon many hearts. And we pray, Thy Lord, Thy kingdom come, with more understanding and more desire for what that means, that all nations would come unto Him, even of the Jews and the Gentiles. When we know more and more of God's Word, we have, by God's grace, a greater wisdom so that we can pray according to His will. But then the Lord also commands His creatures to follow Him. And that's where we were talking about His preceptive will as we were before. And you should hear in that preceptive will the word precept, which means like commandment, right? In His commandments to us, God's will can be found in His commandments, which we have already considered, they're found in His Word. And so the preceptive will of God relates to the revealed commandments of God's Word that are to His people, His moral law. When the Lord commands, thou shalt not steal, that does not mean, as soon as He commanded that in the beginning, that all people everywhere would stop stealing at that moment. It's not that the same as the command, let there be light, as according to His decretive will, but this is more His preceptive will. These commandments do not carry with them the immediate necessity of consequence. They do not carry the immediate necessity of consequence, where at that moment it was not possible for the light to refuse to shine in creation. It is possible for us to refuse to obey the command, thou shalt not steal, and actually then steal. There is a difference here to be shown. So between the decretive will of God and the preceptive will of God. The decretive will, what the Lord decrees from all eternity, that necessarily will come about exactly so as He has decreed it from all eternity in time where He said it would come about. And the preceptive will, that which declares His righteousness to us and His commands are His commands to us that we must obey and that all peoples everywhere must obey. And so in the big picture we answer there the first question, how can God's will be known? It is by His Word, meditating upon His law day and night. That's why He tells us and commands us continually, meditating, be in Your Word, read Your Word, read My Word, because that's where you're going to find My will. revealed to you. Learning His promises, learning and studying His Word, singing His Word, sitting under the reading and preaching of His Word, praying His Word. How are we going to do that unless we know His Word? And why would we be commanded to pray His Word as we are? It's because we're commanded to pray according to His will. And so He calls us to pray according to His Word. So falling and submitting to the Lord and His will, remembering at the same time, Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law, this law. Now, this pushes us to a second point, which is, if the will of God is found in His Word, in the Scriptures, what then shall we do? That's the second point. What then shall we do? If God's will is found in His Word, what should we do today? We should be devouring the Word. In the Word. We should be, even beyond that, we must be in all things submitting to and obeying His Word, right? As we pray, not just hearing His Word, but being doers of His Word. In James chapter 3. So that we are accepting and not rebelling against Him, and submitting to and obeying His decree of will when it occurs. That we are accepting His decree of will when it occurs in time, His providence. Everything that happens to all His creatures and all their actions, you know, all the actions that happen, those are all decreed by God, and that's His providence when we see them. That's His works of providence. That we are pleased with not complaining. Right? We are pleased with not complaining about His promise, His providence. When certain things happen, which are all things according to His will, we must receive them as that which are from God to His children, and which are all good. Right? Again, Romans 8, 28. So you must not murmur or grumble and complain at them. May the Lord grant us that grace and faith to respond to His will accordingly, because we cannot do it of ourselves. We are tempted often to grumble and complain at every circumstance that comes about, especially when it's in conflict with our desires, and because we're selfish and do not want to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We are often found grumbling and complaining. But once again, there's a problem. By nature, we and all men are incapable of doing the will of God. That is, to obey His commandments, to follow after Him, after righteousness, to be wise in following after the Lord. As we heard last time, we are under the dominion of sin and Satan. Of ourselves. We're under the dominion of sin and Satan. So in thinking of God's will, we are utterly unable and unwilling to know His will, and unwilling and utterly unable to do the will of God. Right? Again, consider those popular phrases we know. Romans 3, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Job chapter 21 says, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of Thy ways. We don't want to know Your will, God. We don't want to follow Your will. Nothing to do with Your will. Rather, we are prone to, by nature, to rebel against God's will and His Word and against His commandments, and hate His promises and grumble at His providence. Numbers 14, what did they do? And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that... Right, that's their desire. Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. They want to go back to slavery. Or would God we had died in this wilderness? And consider Jesus himself in Luke 22. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, that is the suffering and death on the cross. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Ephesians 2, even just plainly doing the will of your Father by nature, the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. And it says, "Where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." According to the prince of the power of the air, according to his will. And so when we pray, "Thy will be done," we're not praying that way. We're praying that such should end. That the dominion of sin and Satan would end. That the Lord by His Spirit would take away from ourselves and others all the blindness that we have, the weaknesses we have, and would even the perverseness, the darkness, and shine the brightness of His light upon us. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we're praying like Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we're praying Ephesians 3, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we are praying there would be repentance brought. Jeremiah 31. "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn Thou me, and I shall be turned. For Thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth." There's repentance when we pray for God's will to be done, because we're sinners. But then, even more than that, when we pray, "Thy will be done," we're praying that the Lord will make us able and willing to know by His sovereign grace, to know and to do and to submit to His perfect will in all things, keeping His commandments. We are praying, "Lord, Your will be done." We are praying that we would be obedient unto Him and keep His commandments. Psalm 119, we're going to sing another part of this, but here, Psalm 119, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." We pray in the same psalm, "Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments, for therein do I and the delight. Incline my heart unto Thy testimonies, and not to covetousness," not to my desires, not to my will, but to Yours, right? To Your testimonies. "Incline my heart." Then Acts 21. And Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done." Submit to the will of the Lord. Even in our evangelism, submitting to His will. When we're praying, "Thy will be done," even submitting in our evangelism, knowing, well, here's a person who's completely rejecting the gospel being preached to them. "Lord, Your will be done." Not only submitting, friends, to the will of the Lord on earth with humility, gladness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, and sincerity, just as the angels do in heaven, perfectly. The Lord calls us in His Word to these things, to walk humbly with Him, to serve Him with gladness, to walk before Him in the truth, to keep His precepts, His commandments, diligently, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord with a heart that is sound in His statutes, and a heart inclined to perform always His commandments. To pray, "Thy will be done," and live. Thy will be done is impossible for all of us in ourselves. But it is the pleading to be turned from Satan's will and our will to the Lord's will alone. That we would put off loving unrighteousness and wickedness and unfaithfulness and darkness, and we would be blessed to love righteousness and goodness and light and faithfulness alone, which is found in the Lord. Our lives, when we pray, thy will be done, our lives are to be focused upon the Lord's will, not ours. His plan, not ours. His promises, His commands, not ours. And He would establish our steps. Think of that even in your marriages. It's not always about your will, your selfish desires with your spouse. It is, what is the Lord's will? And so when we are praying, just as the Lord has decreed in heaven, so He has, as He desires of me from heaven, speaking from heaven His word, so Lord, may it be on earth. May it be on earth for me, for the church, for all. And here in our lives, right, bring Your promises about, Father. Bring Your desires about at the perfect time. Friends, is Christ your King? Is Christ your King? Well, how much of a King is Jesus to you if you pray, if you're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and yet you do your own will, and you don't do His will. You don't seek to follow His commandments, but you rebel against Him time and time again. If you're not ruled by King Jesus, then you're treating yourself as king or as queen, right? And it's my will be done. It's my will be done instead of thy will be done. Friends, each of you, come unto the Lord Jesus. We all need to do this. Bow the knee to Him and plead with Him. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Lord, turn me from my sin. Turn me from the dominion of sin and Satan, that I may exalt in the kingdom of Jesus Christ my Lord. Receive me for Christ's sake. Make me to love Your law, Your will, that it would be from Your word, that I would love Your will. I would love Your word. I would love Your providence when it comes. Like Christ Himself, pray not my will, but Your will be done. Thy will be done. Enable me to do what is pleasing to Thee. Give me that grace that is necessary to the right, righteous knowledge of Thy will and an acceptable obedience to it. Let Thy will be done conscientiously by me and others, not our will, not my will, the will of the flesh or the will of the mind or the will of men, but Your will. 1 Peter 4 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, and he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Putting, what does it mean to know the will and to obey the will of God? It's to put off sin, to put off the flesh, of the lust of the flesh. And so, Lord, our prayer ought to be, we desire to displease You in nothing. We want to please You. We never want to displease You in anything that we do. And so that in this place of trial on earth, may it be done according to Your will as it is in that place and rest of joy and rest in heaven. The place of gladness in heaven, so may it be done here. But friends, today you are to turn your hearts to the Lord. Turn. Do so by turning to the Lord in prayer. Committing yourselves to loving His Word because He speaks from heaven in it. And obeying Him and seeking Him in the Word all the days of your life. Turn to Christ today, the King, and bow before Him. All you people, commit your way to Him. Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Why is that? Because your heart has been aligned with His, and you love His will. And so He'll give it to you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you who speak from on high, from heaven, we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That you would turn us from our sins and from our dominion, that bondage that we have under sin and Satan, and grant us to be citizens in Christ's kingdom, that we would obey His law, that we would love to meditate upon His law day and night, and make us not only to desire to do so, and hear by hearing it now, really want to do it, but Father, grant us the grace by your Spirit to actually do it, to actually be in your Word, to actually meditate upon your law day and night, to love you when you speak, to listen, believe, and obey, and submit unto you, the great King and Head of not only all nations, but the Church. And so, Father, we ask that your will would be done. We pray that we would not be grumblers and murmurers of your providence, but always accepting and rejoicing in the good and even the trials that come. And we know that you'll work them for our good, for the good of your bride, the Church. And so again, we pray that your will would be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.